We're ready for the sermon. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles. And just as a starting point, we're going to start in the book of Esther in chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. While you're looking for that, you may be interested to know the books in the Old Testament that are contemporary with the book of Esther, those historical books whose events occurred at or about the same time as Esther, would be Ezra and Nehemiah. And then Haggai and Zechariah are the prophetical books that were written as those prophets preached and prophesied within that same 70-year period of the Jewish captivity. When I looked at this verse here in Esther chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 14 in a minute. But when I looked at that verse, I observed that there's more than one message that could be preached from that one verse. So I made a choice. And you know, it's interesting, as you study your Bible, there are some times when you see some types of things, other times when you see other types of things. And in this case, there was just a certain word, one word that really stood out. And man, when that happens, man, I can't help but to start searching the Bible for other occurrences of that word to find out what it really means and how it's being used. And you know, I don't want to wear you out today with with a really deep study of words, but there's just something about it. When you really understand the richness of a word that occurs 10, 15, 25, 30 times in the Word of God, that means every time you come across a passage in the Bible that contains that word, things will start to open up. The meaning of things in that in those passages will mean more to you. And this is one more reason why we want to stick to the King James Bible, because you really lose so much of the meaning in the new versions of the Bible. I saw, I think it was on YouTube or something, just yesterday, somebody posted a video about how you need to read every Bible version you can get your hands on just so you can get as much truth as you can, and that's the only way to do it. That's not the way to do it, friends. God preserved his holy words in the King James Bible. He promised he would be the one preserving it. If you start telling everybody that you need all the Bibles to get as much of the truth as you can, that means you don't have the truth, or you don't know where to find it. Well, we know where to find it. It's in the King James Bible. And the words, the inspired words in the King James Bible, they're so rich in meaning that it's a serious offense whenever anybody changes them. In fact, I do have other versions of the Bible, and I use them to try to teach other people why those things are wrong. But I did check out three other Bible versions on this verse we're going to be reading, and those versions have totally lost the true meaning of this verse. The Amplified Bible, the New American Standard Bible, and the NIV, all three of those change the word enlargement to the word relief. And that is so far from the true meaning of that verse that it's a sin against the Word of God to defile it in that way. And it really angers me. I don't know about you, but it angers me when I see such mishandling of God's holy words. You know, I can't emphasize strongly enough the importance of reading and trusting your King James Bible to be the infallible truth of God. Even if English is not your first language and you sometimes need to refer to a Bible in your own language, you need to come back to the KJV, do your best to understand what it says, and of course with the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you can't help it, you can't understand it all, what do you do? You pray to God for understanding. It's all through the Bible you see where God, he's the one who fills different people with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge. But if you insist on reading another Bible version, it's my honest belief that you will have no more understanding than a Gentile who doesn't know God. You know what the Bible says about them in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The devil wants to keep you blind to the things of God, and it has been his handiwork to publish all these new Bibles to keep your understanding darkened and to keep you far from God. Now, that had nothing to do with my message today, but it's important. It's such an important thing for Christians to know about that I'm going to bring it up as often as I can, especially when I happen to see such an obvious attack on God's word like the one here in this verse. But getting back to the message, or starting the message now, we're going to be looking at that word enlargement. The title of the message is Enlargement from Another Place. It comes from this verse, and to enlarge means to get larger. And, well, I know what that's all about because I've been experiencing enlargement for years now, and I've got to be careful about that I don't get too much larger. but we're going to talk about a different kind of enlargement, and it's very important. It's a Bible doctrine, and I'm excited about it because it's very wonderful. It's a good thing, and it's talking about the opposite of being restricted, the opposite of being in a straight place. In fact, there's a couple of places where it's compared to straightness. I'm not talking about straightness in the sense of a straight line that doesn't have any bends or curves in it. No, the idea of this kind of straightness, it's to be restricted. It'd be to be in a very narrow, a very tight place, unable to move. Okay, the idea you don't have any room to move around. And God wants to enlarge us. In Esther chapter 4, we have, of course, the story of Mordecai and Esther and of Haman, who was doing his best to arrange for the total destruction of the Jewish people there in the Persian Empire. And we're going to be reading, Mordecai here, he's coming to Esther. She's the queen now, and he's telling her that she needs to do something about the terrible situation. She needs to go and talk to King Ahasuerus. And Esther, at first, she hesitates as to whether she can do it or not. So let's look at it now. Look what Mordecai says to her. I'm going to be reading verses 13 and 14. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not within thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Okay, I mentioned there was more than one message there. I can see a very clear message on that phrase, "for such a time as this." You may have heard a pastor preach a message called "such a time as this." But today I want to speak about enlargement from another place. All right, let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would give us something from this study today, this word study, that will be a benefit to us, that will help us to better minister to others, to help us, Lord, to have all the blessings that you desire for us to have, so that we're not stuck in our sinful ways and stuck in a straight place, a very restricted place spiritually. Help us, Lord, to open up and draw close to you and be useful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, you look here, and I found that the word enlarge, or some form of that word, if you look it up in a concordance or something, you find it is used, or it's found 26 times in the Bible. In the NIV Bible, though, it's only found 13 times. Okay, that means that the NIV has changed exactly half of the verses with that word in it to a different meaning. You say, well, how did you know that, Brother Bob? You see, that library behind me, I have a concordance for the NIV. All you got to do is open it up to that word enlarge and enlargement and enlarging, and you count how many times it's in the NIV. It's that simple. But basically, to enlarge means to make larger. It's real easy. It doesn't mean, you know, the Bible, God doesn't try to make things hard for us to understand. And yet, just like so many words in the Bible, there is more to it. Here, if you look at verse 14, it's interesting. We could have left out the word enlargement, and we would have still understood the verse just fine and been satisfied that it didn't need anything else. We could read this verse without enlargement, and we could have heard Mordecai say, "Then shall their deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Okay, and we could have talked about deliverance there. We could have understood what it meant. We could have had probably about as much understanding as we do now. But God put enlargement in there. And he says, something's happening to you that I want to help you with. And the thing is, we need to be enlarged. We need to have an enlargement in our lives and in the things that happen in our lives. And notice what happened to these Jewish people. What was going on? Well, those Jewish people, you had the Persians through Haman preparing to kill them, doing everything he could to get them wiped out. And so the Jews felt their enemies coming in on every side. Just picture this. And they felt the restriction of all these people watching them and people figuring out who they were and getting ready to do something to him, not knowing who they could trust. And Mordecai says this. He says, "Esther, I believe that God has put you in your position as queen of the Persian Empire for such a time as this." But he says, if you don't do anything, he's going to do something. He's going to give deliverance. He's going to give enlargement from another place. He's going to give that enlargement no matter what you do. And as you study, though, as you study enlargement all through the Bible, sometimes the idea is, if you have a country and it has borders that are right here, enlargement in that sense means God brings the borders from here out to here. See, it's an enlarging of the coasts, an enlarging of the borders. Let me just read a few verses. We're just going to read three verses real quickly here, starting in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Just give you some examples. Deuteronomy 12:20, "When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee." Okay, and I'm not going to read all of it, but he says he's going to enlarge their borders. And then in Deuteronomy 19, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers." And so he's talking about the enlarging, making something bigger than it was, giving you more room than you used to have. And we're going to be speaking of this in spiritual terms, but you need to understand it. You need to understand it in the literal sense first. And one very interesting verse, let's turn to Job chapter 12. Look at Job 12:23. The Bible says, this is Job speaking here. He's speaking about the Lord. And he says, "He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them." So you notice that it says God is the one who enlarges the nations. God is the one who straightens the nations. Okay, that means sometimes he decreases the borders. And if you study the history of some nations, you see that this has happened. Study Austria sometimes. See if God didn't enlarge their borders one time and then later straighten their borders. We saw more recently a situation where the borders of Russia were straightened. And hey, if America keeps going the way she's going, one of these days we might see the borders of America straightened. God, he enlarged America's borders over a period of time. He gave her greater borders, but recently we're seeing things that might be turning in the other direction. So that's what it's talking about, just some examples there. Well, throughout the scripture, you have several things that are enlarged. Let's start with the really bad stuff, things you know you don't necessarily want to see enlarged. First of all, look with me to Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." So there's some things you wouldn't want to have enlarged. God says hell hath enlarged herself. And some have thought about this and said, you know, that might have been when Jesus Christ took the Old Testament saints up to heaven and emptied Abraham's bosom. Maybe there was more room in the heart of the earth after that, in order to enlarge hell. Whatever it is, the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. Hell is always going to be the right size for its purpose. Okay, let's go now to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5. "Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people." So it's talking about someone who enlarges his desire as hell. So hell is enlarging. Hell, it's like I said, it's always the right size. And but that's a sad thought, though, that it's enlarging. And he says this man, though, is one who has a desire that's just like hell. It can never be satisfied. He always wants more. He's always getting more. And so there are some things that it's not good to enlarge. Personally, I'm not glad that the sodomite lifestyle has greatly enlarged in America and in other countries. So you can't even turn on a TV today without seeing they've got to have a gay story in there. So you can't watch anything. You know, today, gay couples, they're allowed to adopt children. Lesbian couples, they're allowed to adopt or conceive children in different ways. And America, they've said that those homosexuals are to have the same rights as any normal married couple. And the acceptance of that sin is enlarging in America. And I don't think God is happy about that at all. There's some other things that are enlarging, and it's not good that they're enlarging. It's not good that they're growing. But it's there, and it's a reality. Sometimes you're going to go through times in your life when something else enlarges. Look here at Psalm 25, starting in verse 17. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." So you see here, he says the troubles of my heart are enlarged. And that's, you know, sometimes the troubles in your heart enlarge, don't they? You just feel them in your heart. Those troubles, they grow, and some things go on, and you have some kind of a experience where you say, "Lord, I want you to deliver me from that trouble." But you know what? God will deliver you from that. See, the psalmist praying says, "Lord, would you help me from all the troubles that have enlarged in my heart?" Well, let's go on to some other things that are enlarged. If you're still in Psalm, go to Psalm 18. Verse 36, very simple thing here, but I've read this verse for a long time, but I think it just kind of recently got the picture here now. Psalm 18:36, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Well, for me, I think of it this way. If you've ever been out on a hike, you know, maybe up in a on a mountain trail, a narrow mountain trail, maybe you've been across, been through some places that are pretty dangerous, pretty treacherous, and you really need to watch your step, especially if it starts getting dark and you can't see your steps anymore. And in some places along that path, man, one wrong step and you might find yourself sliding down a mountainside. And it's at those points where God says, here, let me make that step a little bit bigger. He enlarged my steps. Sometimes when you're in periods in your life where you're just about ready to fall and you say, Lord, I'm about ready to fall, he says, oh, let me make it a little bit bigger. And he makes the step larger. He enlarges that thing. He watches over us. And if you and you see here, he says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I was about ready to slip off. My foot was about ready to come off. God comes down, makes the step bigger. What a God. Man, I've had times in my life where I just thought I was going to miss it here. And I said, I don't know how to make it. And God came and he made the step larger. And I kept on going. I was able to keep on going. And what a blessing. But you know what? There's some other things that he enlarges. He enlarges not only our step, but he actually enlarges our coast. And he enlarges our boundaries sometimes. I'm going to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we'll read verse 10. But I want you to know that this verse has been the subject of a Christian fad that started about 15 years ago. But before I talk about that, let's read the verse so you have some sort of idea why this author that I'll be talking about has been able to successfully take advantage of so many Christians for his own profit. This is known as the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So, there's been a lot of talk about the prayer of Jabez. In fact, there's a book called Beyond Jabez, and there's a complete prayer of Jabez video curriculum offered in the Christian bookstores. And it claims to show the Christian how to appropriate the principles of Jabez's prayer and then provides steps for a God-focused lifestyle and has inspiring stories of lives enlarged by it. But you know, it's just like anything else in Scripture. Just because somebody else messes up a verse, they mess it up, doesn't mean you can't get any blessings out of it. So, yeah, there are some blessings in this verse. Okay, I mean, God put that in there in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 for a purpose. And its purpose is not for you to create magic tricks to where you can win the lottery every day. Okay, it's not for stuff like that, not for selfish purposes. And a lot of people are getting the idea that, well, I'll pray that prayer word for word, and all of a sudden, God, he's just going to pour out all these blessings on me. And if you go to any of the Christian bookstores in America, you'll find all this prayer of Jabez stuff. Tell you what, who's got the one who did get his prayers answered is the one who wrote those books, Bruce Wilkinson. He got rich selling those books. He made millions off of who? Off of foolish Christians who bought that junk. He's the one who got his prayer answered. If you look at that verse honestly, though, you have to admit it. It seems like a selfish kind of prayer at first, maybe the first time you read it. Enlarge my coast sounds like a man asking for more stuff. And what makes it so attractive is the part where the verse says, and God granted him that which he requested. So now the latest craze among Christians is to pray this prayer expecting that God is going to grant it because, well, he did it for Jabez, and that's what makes it so attractive to people. What is attractive is that you get something free for nothing, so they think. But, you know, if we understand what our coasts were, if we understood that, our coasts, that's our area of ministry, our coasts. If you truly pray for God to enlarge your coast, you know what he's going to do? He's going to work you harder. He's going to open some doors. He's going to make some opportunities appear and make you work harder. But you know what? You're not supposed to go around praying pattern prayers anyway. If you're going to do that, you might as well pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Rhymes. They think if a prayer rhymes, it'll be answered, you know, or something like what they call the Lord's Prayer. Okay, you know, they just repeat it. You see somebody getting in trouble. Somebody gets cancer. Oh, family, gather around. Let's pray. And they're praying the Lord's Prayer. What? They're praying for God to provide their daily bread, and they want, what they really want is their cancer cured? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us this daily bread. But I still got the cancer. See, that's not what they need. See, the movie Titanic, the ship is going down, they're sinking, everybody's going to die. They're praying for daily bread because they don't know what to pray. I mean, you look at this thing. No, you don't just need to memorize prayers, okay? You need to learn to talk to God. But here you have a man. What does he say? "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." Sometimes God will enlarge our coast. He'll enlarge our area of work and the areas of ministry and the things that he has for us. That's okay. Just understand that it may mean a lot more work for you. Be prepared for it. Be willing. Sometimes it's part of the blessing of God. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And this is Israel. I know it is, but we're going to try to make some good application here. We can do that. This is the blessing of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1-3. "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." Okay, so first of all, let's just take it literally. He says to Israel, one of these days, enlarge your tent. You know what your tent is? That's the place you dwell. And do you realize there's a period of time coming when Israel is going to enlarge her tent? You ever look at that map of Israel today, according to the world? That little tiny sliver on the map, you know, it comes to a point at the bottom. Well, you know what? One of these days, Israel is going to enlarge. That little sliver is going to enlarge, okay? They're going to go from the Euphrates all the way down to the Nile. She's going to enlarge her tent. Have you ever had a time when God enlarged your tent a little bit? I mean, when things just started happening and he opened up doors and he gave you some blessings and he did some things for you. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. God is the one who blesses us. There's no doubt about that. We are to serve him. We're to give him our heart. We're to work with all of our heart. We're even to suffer for him. But there's an enlargement. But that enlargement today, it's not always some sort of physical, financial, material sort of thing. It's a spiritual enlargement. Okay? And that's where we're going from here. But I just want you to understand that God enlarges us. One other enlargement before we get to the very last two. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're looking at all of these just to kind of give you a good feel for this word in Scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah is praying a prayer of praise because God gave her Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoiced in thy salvation." Okay, so Hannah, she says, "My mouth is enlarged." Any of you ladies ever say that? I don't think you would you? But Hannah did. And Joshua was reading about Elizabeth this morning, and she couldn't keep her mouth closed when the babe leapt in her belly and at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mary. And she just had to praise the Lord. But she didn't say that her mouth was enlarged, but we saw it that it was. But you know what Hannah was saying? She's saying, "I don't care who hears what I'm saying. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to talk about how good he is. I'm just going to open my mouth. I'm going to talk about the goodness of God." And you look down through there, you see if that's not what she's talking about. She says, "My mouth is enlarged. I'm just going to praise God. I'm going to talk about how good he is." Why? Because he gave her that desire of her heart, for which she cried, for which she begged God, for which she promised God, "God, if you'll just give me a son, I promise I'll give him back to you." She got Samuel. She came back. And she says, "My mouth is enlarged. Lord, you've blessed me so much. I just got to say something about how good you've been." Amen. That's pretty good. I've got two more. And I'm going to tell you what the two things are. The enlargement of our hearts and the enlargement of ourselves are the last two. These are totally spiritual, by the way. Keep that in mind. And you notice I've been just kind of building up to this. I mean, I started with the enlargement of hell. Well, that's all negative. I started as coming to some good things. He enlarges our steps when we're about to fall. He enlarges our mouth to praise him when he's been good to us. Those are good things. Now we're going to come to the most spiritual things here. And to me, this is the real doctrine of enlargement and what I hope you'll see. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 4. Here we learn that because Solomon had a heart for God, God enlarged his heart even more. 1 Kings 4:29, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." Well, you know, if you hear somebody talking medically, physically, about an enlarged heart, we know that's not a good thing, right? That person's not going to live long. That's bad. But, you know, because that's something where that's telling you something's gone wrong with the physical heart. Okay, well, that's physical. Sometimes spiritual is just the opposite of physical. Do you realize what God wants us to have? He wants us to have a spiritually enlarged heart. He wants our heart to be enlarged. Now, like I said, that might not be good from the physical standpoint, but man, it is a blessing from the spiritual standpoint. So let's talk about it. What causes somebody to have an enlarged heart? Look at Isaiah chapter 60. Now, I know this is basically a word study, but I think if every once in a while you'll do one of these word studies afterwards, every time you come across that word, now in this case, the word enlarged, every time you see it in your as you're reading your Bible, it's going to mean something to you, mean more to you. And hopefully that's what's going on. And you find here in Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 5, it's talking about Israel in the end times. This is the time of New Jerusalem here, talking about how the sun doesn't need to shine anymore, about how Israel's has her kingdom, reading about the kingdom age here. And he's speaking to Israel in verse 5, Isaiah 60, verse 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together. I thought about that quite a bit. Seems like people kind of flow apart and flow in different directions. It's when God gets a hold of you that things start to flow together. It says, and thine heart shall fear. Well, what kind of fear are we supposed to have, spiritually speaking? Spiritually speaking, it's the fear of God. So your heart is going to fear God and be enlarged. Your heart is going to fear. Now, normally we think of fear as a negative thing, but throughout Scripture, the fear of God, that's good. It's good. You know what enlarges your heart? Placing God on such a high pedestal in your life that you look at Him in awe. Just to think of being in His presence. You know, I don't know. We say we don't care, but I have a feeling that we would feel differently if the president of your country was to visit us in our church one day. You know, we'd notice things a little bit differently. You say, nah, I don't care about men. President Rodrigo Duterte, he's nobody to me. President Ramnath Kovind, he's just an Indian man like any other Indian man. President Joe Biden, he's just another American man. But you have to admit, there's just something about that. You know, I mean, if Sheikh Al-Jaber Al-Sabah walked into your job site, there'd be something about that. You know, for one thing, there'd be about 50 cameras and the press would be there, and you couldn't honestly say that things would be the same as always. Why? Because of his position. It'd be something where you'd say, wow, he actually came. Now, you've always heard people say, what if Jesus were here? Well, of course, Jesus is here. But do you know what the fear of the Lord is? I know that it's fear. I'm not taking away from the fact that it is fear. But it's a fear that comes from the awe, from the wonder, from the awesomeness of the presence of God. He is here. Do you ever think about it? Have you ever just had a time, maybe in your prayer, when God was really dealing with you about something? Maybe just a time when you were with Him, when you knew the presence of God more than at any other time. And it's almost a sense where you're afraid to even move. You're afraid to breathe. You're afraid to change anything because you say, surely God is in this place and I knew it not. And it's the sense of knowing God is there and God is present. Now, He's present anyway, whether you know it or not, but it's the idea that you sense His presence in a real way, in a strong way. You know what? You come to those times in your life and you say, wow, what a God. You know what happens? Your heart gets enlarged. Well, let's talk about enlargement a little bit more. I'm going to talk about what it means and what it does. But you know what? That enlargement of heart, your heart, that's your feelings, that's your emotions, your love, your affections, those kind of things that are involved with your heart. And you know what? Our heart gets restricted in this world. It gets restricted in this world. There's a pressure against us, and that pressure puts us spiritually in a tight place. Now, the Bible talks about liberty in Christ. That's not liberty to do anything you want to do. It's a liberty of heart. It's a liberty of the inward part of us to where we can say, oh, what a joy it is to serve God. Let me contrast it so you know what I'm talking about. Do you remember when you first got saved, or those times when you really surrendered to God and how much of a joy it was, how sweet it was, how wonderful it was just to come to church and to be able to open your Bible with people who love the Lord and to just be able to serve God. Well, that's largeness of heart. That is largeness of heart. When you looked at people and you cared for, you really cared for them, and you said, I wonder if they're saved. And you really cared whether they were or not. And you started praying for them because you saw somebody. You saw somebody who had a need, and your heart just went out to them. You see, you hear those words there? Your heart went out to them. Okay? Do you know what that tells you? You got to have a large heart for your heart to be able to go out to somebody, don't you? And you have feelings for people, and you have a care, you have a concern, and you look around and you say, Lord, what a joy it is to serve you. And it's like you're in a wide open space inside of you, and it's all free, it's all open, and it's a real blessing, and it's an internal thing, and you love God, and you know that He loves you, and you've given your heart to Him. That is largeness of heart. Well, then we let a little bit of sin come in here, and we don't do anything about it. And we let a little bit of sin come in here, and we don't do much about that. And we kind of get stale on our Bible, and we get stale on church, and now we're just kind of going through motions again. You know, just doing it because it's what we always do. And it's like if I could put you inside of your own heart, it's like, man, those walls are coming in on you, and it's like everything's starting to get restricted, starting to get tight. It's like you can feel it coming in on you. You ever seen one of those old movies where the walls actually start moving in? That's kind of how you feel on the inside. All of a sudden, that breathing room and that freshness and that freedom to just love God, all of a sudden, everything's coming in. This wall's moving in over here. This wall's coming in over here. And you're seeing all this freedom disappear. And all of a sudden, you feel just like this, you know, all tight, can't move. You're stuck in that straight place. And you get real panicky and you say, oh, I want to serve God, but there's no joy in it anymore. I want to serve God, but I can't seem to give myself to Him. I tried to read the Bible, but I don't know what's going on. I'm not getting anything. I tried to pray. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. Nobody hears me. It's because you put your heart and your mind in this world too much. You're giving yourself to this world, and you've lost that largeness of heart, and it's become straitened. Remember what we read about how God enlarges the nations and He straightens the nations? Well, we'll see something before we get through about our hearts being enlarged and our hearts being straightened and our lives for Christ being enlarged and straightened. And you know what you have to do? You have to come back and you say, Lord, would you give me a sense of who you are again? Lord, help me to know your greatness, your power. Lord, help me to understand who you are and to look to you and to trust you again. Lord, I got to fear you again so that I can have that largeness of heart. And you come into a time when God becomes so real to you, so powerful to you, and then you turn your heart and your life to Him and you get things right with God. You confess and you cry some of those tears. You ever gotten up from a time when you cried some of those tears before God? And it was like all of a sudden, man, the room just opened up. It's like those walls went back again. And you said, Lord, I'm right with you. Things are all right now. It's a joy to serve you again. Thank you, Lord. We go through times in our life. You know what we do most of the time? Either our heart is getting enlarged or our heart is getting straightened. You know how most Christians spend their time? They spend most of their time, you know, just kind of squeezing through life in a tight space, barely able to move. You know, no joy, no peace, going through the motions. Now, they haven't totally quit on God, but there's no enlargement. They're stuck. They're stuck. They're in a straight place. Kind of reminds me of those men who were with Elijah, those young young prophets in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." And see how it's spelled there? S-T-R-A-I-T. That means restricted there. Okay? By the way, something to remember when you read the Bible, when you see that word straight, spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, no G-H, okay? It means restricted. It means narrow. It means tight. But when it has the G-H-T on the end, it means, you know, straight. It's without bends, no curves, not to the left, not to the right, straight ahead. Okay? And both of those words are found in Scripture. They're both found in Scripture. That should tell you that they don't have the same meaning. but it's important to distinguish between them because they don't mean the same thing. Now, I've heard some good messages preached misusing those two words, and that's easy to do. I mean, they preached hard on it, but they messed up what it's really talking about. But the thing here is, he's talking about a restricted place. They said, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. The place where you dwell right now in your heart, is it too strait for you? Do you know what God wants to do? He wants to enlarge your heart. Well, you know how he enlarges your heart? You have to fear him. You got to turn to him, understand his power, his greatness. You got to spend some time. Spend some time praising him. Spend some time thinking about his attributes. The fact that he's right here, that he knows us, that he's everywhere, that he loves us still, even though he knows everything about us. Well, what does that enlarged heart do for you? Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 32. Now, Psalm 119, of course, is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's a psalm about the Word of God, but it's got so much there in it. He says in verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." So here's a man, he says, "Lord, when you enlarge my heart, I'm not going to just walk in your commandments anymore. I'm going to run in them." He says, "I'm just going to go down and do your commandments. Okay, I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to go wait and check it out and put out the rug and see if it gets wet and say, okay, should I do this or not? I know God said it, but I just don't know if I can handle it." That's not an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart is not, well, I'm just going to serve God no matter what. I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to just keep on going. That's not an enlarged heart. You know what an enlarged heart is? It's when God says, do it. It's his commandment. You know that's his command. That's what he wants. And you don't think about it for a while first. You just pick it up and run with it. You just take off and you run and you say, Lord, I am going to just do what you say. Well, you know what we have today? We have too much of this testing God out. Don't test him out. Just be obedient to him. Trust him. We have people who want to halfway serve God, halfway get in church, halfway get right, halfway do everything else. Hey, you need to give it all to God. That's where the joy is. You get into this straitened situation where you're halfway given to God, and you'll never have the full joy of Jesus Christ in your heart. He says, I have come that my joy might remain in you, the Lord says. But it comes from that enlarged heart. He says, you get that enlarged heart, and you're going to run in the way of his commandments. Look at one other place about the enlarged heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is one of those passages we don't use a lot, but it's a good passage. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Okay, you know what the biblical opposite of enlarge is? It's straighten, right? Well, look at the next verse, verse 12. Ye are not straitened in us. Okay, we're not the cause of you being stuck or restricted, held back in spiritually, but ye are straightened in your own bowels. For now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Okay, and by the way, he goes on from right there. He goes into talking about separation. You know, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But look here, he says, our heart is enlarged. So you know what he's saying? He says, our heart, those of us who are ministering to you, Corinthian believers, our heart reaches out to you. Our heart is enlarged. It reaches all the way to you. You're in our hearts and it reaches out to you. But he says, your straightness, your restriction, your narrowness, your displeasure in serving God, your struggle to give your heart to God, that has nothing to do with us. That's in your own bowels. So you know what he's saying? He said, your problem is with yourself. Quit blaming everybody else. You say, you don't understand, somebody else is causing my problem though. No. Do you realize that God's grace is sufficient to give you peace and to give you joy no matter what anybody else does? No matter what anybody else has done, will do, or is doing right now, you can give your heart to them. You can have an enlarged heart, even to those who are giving you a hard time. Now, you look right there. He says, it's not us. You're not straightened in us. Your restriction, your discomfort, your problems, they're not with us. They're in your own self, your own bowels. He says, if you want to be, you want to get right, be ye also enlarged. Let your heart get larger. Let your heart go out and reach out. You know what our problem is? Our heart is too small. It's too straightened. It's too restricted. We look out and we say, well, when has somebody done something for me recently? You know, and then it becomes, well, why should I, right? Because you're a little small-hearted person, okay? I didn't say you were small-minded. I said small-hearted, okay? You're a small-hearted person is somebody who only cares for themselves. What do I get out of it? Who's doing something for me? That's small-hearted. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to enlarge your heart. Reach out to others in love and care. And it's not just the sweet stuff, but it's the idea that you sacrifice and you look around and you say, my heart is enlarged. Not only that, but just a couple more verses here. Even ourselves are to be enlarged with God's help. You know what? When you go through trials, those restrictions come in. The walls start moving in. Some of you, if you think about it, the feelings that you're feeling right now, pretty much on a spiritual basis, are just about the way you would feel physically if you saw the walls start moving in and none of the doors would open. You're stuck there. You're in a panic. It's coming in on you on all sides. You don't know which way to go. There's nowhere you can go. Well, you know what God wants you to do? He wants to enlarge you. Look at Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Lord, when I was in distress, you enlarged me. You know what distress is? We call it stress today. It's stress that comes down on you. It's pressure, things coming in on you. It's the walls coming in on you. He says, when I was in distress, Lord, you enlarged me. You gave me a large place. The place was too straight for me. Just like it said in 2 Kings chapter 6, he says, but you have enlarged it for me. You've given me freedom. You've given me peace. Look at one more scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10:15. Paul speaking. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule abundantly. Well, there's a lot in this passage that we're not going to go into deeply because we're just not going to be dealing with the context right now. But Paul says here, we're not boasting about what other men are doing. He says, our hope is this, that when your faith is increased, we'll be enlarged by you. And you know, one of the things that enlarges us, it's faith. Now, the Bible said that fear was one of the things that enlarged our heart. Your heart fears, and it's enlarged. And that resulted in a whole lot of blessings, where it talked about that in Isaiah 60, verse 5. But this passage here, he says, when your faith is increased, when your faith is increased, we'll be enlarged. By the way, that's an interesting thing. Not only does faith bring enlargement, your faith can actually bring enlargement to others. You can trust in God, and it can actually help other people out because you're trusting in God. Your own faith to God, you have an influence on other people. And you look here, he says, you're going to have faith, and we're going to be enlarged. But you know what? Faith leads to enlargement. So that's the first thing I want you to see there. Not only that, our faith can lead to the enlargement of others. Others can be blessed. Others can be opened up and given the peace of following God. See, the thing is, we're to suffer for the Lord. Maybe you've read about some of the Christians. They've suffered over there in China within the last few decades. There was one report of some new believers, brand new believers in China during the 70s, way back then. And these believers, they didn't even have Bibles. They knew very little doctrine. Just a few people they'd memorized some scripture, things like that. But somebody had gotten hold of the scripture in Matthew about how you're supposed to love your enemies and bless them that curse you, and that you're supposed to pray for them that despitefully use you. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. Well, that's all stuff that we sometimes explain ourselves out of. But these Chinese, these new believers in China, they didn't know to do that. So when these Chinese Christians ended up in prison for their faith and those guards started beating them, those Christians, they'd just laugh and say, oh, hit me on the other side. And they'd hit them again and they'd just be praising God and rejoicing for the privilege to suffer for Christ. You think that's strange? Well, isn't that kind of what the apostles did when they were beaten? They went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name in Acts chapter 4. But here they are, they're just praising God and asking for more. And after a while, they didn't know what to do with those crazy Christian Chinese. And they said, just go home. Just go home. We don't know what to do with you. But you see, they were just praising God in the middle of suffering. You say, well, I don't believe we're supposed to do that. Well, that's what Paul and Silas did. There they are in the dungeon. And here they are, midnight. What are they doing? Singing, praising God. Well, they'd just been beaten. You got to realize they had the cuts, they had the slashes, they had the wounds on their backs, they had the dried blood. They're down there among the rats and the muck and everything else. They're in pain. And yet in the middle of all that, when they were going through all of that, they sang praises unto God. You know what? That's an enlargement of the heart. Physically, yeah, they were restricted. They weren't going anywhere. They're in chains. They're down in the dungeon. But you know what? Down in their hearts, there were no restrictions. Their heart was enlarged. You know what we do today? We can go out. Those of us here in Kuwait, we can drive all over Kuwait. We can fly back and forth to our home country, and we can get there in less than a day. You can drive all the way to Kuwait City from your house in just 20 minutes, 50 kilometers. But you know, do you realize what that meant 200 years ago to go 50 kilometers? That'd be a full day's journey 200 years ago. But my point is, we have freedom in this country. We don't really have any restrictions. We can go from the border of Saudi Arabia all the way up to the border of Iraq, and nobody's going to stop us till we get to the border. But we can pretty much go anywhere we want to in this country, anytime we want to. We can go up and we can go. And you know what? We have freedom in our physical bodies, and yet we're restricted in our hearts. There's people who are in prison for serving God. They're restricted physically, but their heart is enlarged, and there's liberty in their heart. And what God wants to give us is that largeness of heart, that enlarged heart that just says, Lord, there's plenty of room in here for me. I mean, the walls, they're not close. There's freedom in here, and I just love serving you, Lord. It's kind of like, have you ever moved from a really small place to one that had about twice as much room? And you get in that new place and you're like, oh, wow, I can breathe again. There's so much room here. And what a blessing it is. You realize that's what God wants to do with you spiritually, with that enlargement of heart. He wants to enlarge you to where inside, in your spirit, there's an opening up of freedom to serve God and to love him and to live for him. Well, I'll guarantee there are some of you here today and you're living in a space for God about like this, just real tight, and you've not really enjoyed serving God for a long time. You know what you do? You get back to the awesomeness of God. You get back to faith, and you do that through the word. You do it through prayer. You come back to God and you say, Lord, I just want to give my heart to you. And it's not necessarily going to happen all at once. I find out that when I get cold on God, sometimes I have to get serious with him for 2 or 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, he just starts opening up and that largeness starts coming back and that sweetness starts coming back. But you got to give your heart to him. Amen. I hope that's what you want to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing us the importance of having an enlarged heart. Lord, if any of us here today are feel restricted in our service to you or in our love for others or in what you would have us to do in our ministries, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just reflect upon what an awesome and wonderful, mighty and powerful God you are, how great you are. Lord, help us to set our hearts upon who you are and the fact that you care about us and you would like to spend time with us, that we might open up our hearts to others and not be selfish in the way we look at things, and that we be soul conscious and looking out and caring about people and thinking about where they're going and ministering to those people the best that we can because of our heart, a heart for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.